there are reverse mortgage calculators, but then there are reverse mortgage point of sale solutions. Lenderful Solutions helps you get more loans, retain more customers, and even make online applications a reality. To learn more, visit LenderfulSolutions.com. Can you afford health care in retirement? If not, here are some options that both retirees and reverse mortgage professionals should know. Home listings surge in the biggest increase in 3 years and asking prices drop. And no rate cut. The Fed holds rates steady after a hot inflation report. These are your top news stories for the week of March 25th. You're listening to Heckam World Weekly, the nation's only weekly podcast, bringing you reverse mortgage news for the mortgage professional. At age 65, some couples may need as much as $413,000 to cover health care costs in retirement. That, according to a January report from the Employee Benefit Research Institute, as reported in Cleveland.com. Now, that may be an extreme case that represents two individuals with high prescription drug costs and perhaps poor health and numerous doctor visits, but it is one of the most difficult expenses to predict in retirement, says Nancy Nahn, a certified financial planner in Cherry Hill, New York. Costs depend on your insurance choices or plan, your health and your prescription drugs, and where you live. So as you approach retirement, try these tactics to get a handle on future health care expenses. And first is to save to a health savings account. If you have a high deductible health plan and access to an HSA or health savings account, max it out. The money you save is triple tax advantaged. You pay no taxes on the money you save. The interest you earn or any withdrawals used for qualified health expenses are also non-taxable. In 2024, you can save up to $4,150 for an individual and up to $8,300 for family coverage and HSA contributions. And if you're 55 or older, you can contribute an extra $1,000 a year. The second tip in getting control of healthcare costs is to pick the right Medicare plan. Once you're 65, advisors typically recommend getting an original Medicare with a Medicare supplement or Medigap insurance coverage. Medigap plans cover many of the out-of-pocket expenses that Medicare does not, and that keeps your monthly health care costs predictable. Many older adults are attracted to the zero premium Medicare Advantage plans, but those plans do have serious restrictions, meaning you have to be limited to in-network doctors and hospitals. I've seen many situations where people wind up needing to go to see a provider who doesn't take the coverage, and they pay the full bill themselves, says Melinda Cahill, founder and CEO of 65 Incorporated, who offers advice on Medicare. The next tip is to get help with tax planning. If your income is exceeding a certain threshold, you will pay more each month for Medicare Part B. So tax planning, as far as to the structure of your income and what is taxable and what is not, will make a difference. The next tip is to pay down your mortgage. And the column in Cleveland.com says, if you're 62 or older and have at least 50% equity in your home, you may have access to a reverse mortgage later if you need it. This is a loan or a line of credit on your assessed home value, and you don't have to make payments. A great point. And lastly, is one that I would really keep away from is a HELOC. So that just puts one in a position where they're going to have to save even more money. But keep things in perspective in the end. Don't lose too much sleep over the big healthcare cost figures. Just consider how intimidating it would be if experts also told you how much you should save to cover 30 years of food and utilities in retirement. That would be a staggering number. With the right planning, healthcare costs can be manageable. A reasonable cost is about $6,000 a year for an individual. And if you price that out on a monthly basis, it's $500 a month, says Dick Power, a certified financial planner in Walpole, Massachusetts. That's a $500 monthly typical payment that covers your insurance coverage and your copays. And Redfin reports that new home listings increased 13% from a year earlier nationwide, that during the 4 weeks ending in March 3rd. That is the biggest increase in nearly 3 years. Now, the boost in new listings helped bring the total number of homes up for sale 1.7%. Following 8 months of declines, February is actually the first month and the number of homes for sale has increased on an annual basis. And home sellers, they're beginning to cut their asking price to entice would-be home buyers, reports Redfin. For example, 23% of listings in Texas have price cuts. The percentage of listings with price reductions in other states include includes 24% in Oregon, over 28% in Florida, 30% in Arizona, and only 14% of listings in California have seen a price reduction. There have been two major obstacles for home buyers over the last year: low inventory and high housing costs, said Redfin economic research lead Jen Zhao. Now the first barrier is starting to come down as more supply comes on the market. Housing costs are still high, but they're likely to come down a bit as mortgage rates gradually decline through the year and price growth loses some steam. Buyers who can't afford today's mortgage rates may have better luck finding a home now than they have in the last several months, and they may be less likely to face competition because inventory is improving. In other housing news, Newsweek reports that sales in Texas fell to their lowest level in 7 years in 2023, as persistently high mortgage rates kept buyers out of the market and on the sidelines as prices declined modestly compared to 2022, according to Texas Realtors. In 8 metro areas in Texas, the median price of homes has decreased, with the biggest drop being 10.4% in the Austin Round Rock Metropolitan Statistical Area. And that despite the plunges in prices, the metro area still did have the highest median price in Texas at $450,000. And in our last segment of the week, no rate cut. The Fed is holding rates steady after hot inflation reports. Following their two-day policy meeting last week, the central bank's rate-setting Federal Open Market Committee, or FOMC, will be keeping their benchmark overnight borrowing rate in a range of 5.25% to 5.5%. That's where it's been since July 2023, reports CNBC. The Federal Reserve last Wednesday held interest rates steady, as many expected, and they also signaled they still plan to have multiple rate cuts before the end of 2024. Along with the decision, Fed officials penciled in 0.75% rate cuts by the end of the year, which would be the first reductions we've seen since the early days of, and a phrase I don't like, the COVID pandemic, which began in March 2020. The current Fed funds rate level is actually the highest that we've had in over 23 years. The rate sets what banks charge each other overnight for lending, but it feeds through many forms of consumer debt. The outlook for the 3 rate cuts came from what they call the Fed's dot plot. That's a closely watched matrix of anonymous projections from the 19 governors or officials who comprise the Federal Open Market Committee. The chart does give no timeline for the interest rate cuts. Chair Jerome Powell said the Fed also did not elaborate on the timing, but he still does expect to have rate cuts to come, but as long as the data, meaning inflation numbers, cooperate. The futures market followed the meeting, where pricing nearly a 75% probability that the first rate cut would come in the June 11th through 12th meeting, according to the CME Group's FedWatch gauge. We believe that our policy rate is likely at its peak for this type of cycle, and that if the economy evolves broadly as expected, it will likely be appropriate to begin dialing back policy restraint at some point this year, said Powell at the post-meeting news conference. We are prepared to maintain the current target range for the federal funds rate for longer if appropriate, meaning if inflation, especially core inflation, remains hot, then they will not make the rate cut. They could postpone it. The sum total of this no news is good news press conference is that the markets continue to have a green light to run higher, said Chris Zaccarelli, chief investment officer at Independent Advisor Alliance. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell seems determined not to make the same mistakes as his predecessor. Perhaps it's a name you're not familiar with, but Fed Chair Arthur Burns cut interest rates prematurely in the late 1970s, which only further entrenched and exacerbated inflation for several years to follow. And that wraps up another episode of Heckam World Weekly, the nation's only weekly podcast bringing you reverse mortgage-related news for all mortgage professionals. You can subscribe and listen on Apple Music, also on Spotify or Podbean, and we do have a video companion of this podcast, which you can find on our website, heckamworld.com, or on YouTube. Be sure to return next week for more reverse mortgage-related news on the go. Have a great week.